No, it's a funny thing, right? Time. It never stops ticking, man. Yeah, black.
Out the madness, try to imagine. It don't have to be tragic, doesn't take magic. It's a lake in Aspen or just a fort in aspirin. When it should get erratic, I wish life could be lavish. And love is all we brandish, above all, above average. Only goodish happens, stop doing damage. Arguing semantics, we should just offer answers. How many just offer cancer? Pharmaceutical bonanza, the money pits bananas. Corruption's always rampant, instead of fostering champions. We dreaming of the Hamptons, Forest Hills and Paris. Is this pretty, should I wear it? Only happy when they staring. Pretty people, it's apparent to all the heirs and heiresses, supporters and the nemesis. I propose an exodus, y'all know where the exit is. Slightly to the left of this, it's time for y'all to go. The ugliness is wrong and the goodness is one.
You're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. Welcome to U-Talk. I'm your host, Ryan Funk. A massive episode of U-Talk today featuring three unique stories. Jerry Fest is a celebration of the life of legendary artist Jerry Atwell and a fundraiser to encourage and support young artists from underrepresented backgrounds. A volunteer group based in Morden is teaming up with Second Front UA for an auction, with proceeds helping the efforts in Ukraine. Finally, the India School of Dance, an institution that stands as a shining example of preserving and celebrating the cultural art of dance. Let's get into it. Winnipeg is bursting with culture, and it's on full display during the numerous culture and folk festivals over the summer. At the Tamil Pavilion, you would have caught the creativity and artistry of the India School of Dance. Starting with only 25 students back in the 80s, the school has grown to accommodate over 150.
I'll go first. So I'm Shavira. I was born and raised here in Winnipeg, and I got into dance because I really wanted to do tap dancing as a kid. I used to see it on the TV a lot, and that's what I wanted to do. But my mom, she's from a strict Indian family who grew up in South Africa, and she always wanted to do Indian dancing when she was a kid, and she didn't get that chance. So she got excited and brought me to the school because all our family friends were talking about the school. So I just kind of stuck with it. I started enjoying it. It has a lot of tap dance elements, the style that I do. We do a lot of footwork and spin, so I really liked it, and I just continued with it from there.
Hi, I'm Devanti. I'm from India. I just arrived to Canada about a year and a half ago.
Oh, very cool.
And I joined a dance school when I was like 6 years of age because my mom has been in performing arts and has traveled all over the world. And so it was kind of mandatory to go into the dance institution and learn dancing. So that's where I started learning Kathak. And then after arriving in Canada, my friends from university got to know about this. And then I got in touch with India School, and that's when I started teaching.
What is the India School of Dance, and what programming do you offer?
So India School was established in 1980. So this year is our 42nd year.
Wow, fantastic.
Yes, and so it was established because we were taking part in the Folklorama as part of the India Pavilion. And we realized that we had to practice a lot more and work on the teaching aspect and train students all over the year so that we can establish and portray our culture. So that's when the school was established, with our founding director, Pamela Rebello, being one of the founding members. And that's when we started. India School is basically, we have like dance, music, theater all under one umbrella. And we like to teach our students the culture that they might have not experienced growing up. So we give them a slice of what it would be if they were in India. Learning the dance practice.
It's important to be connected to one's culture. We've seen generations who have lost their culture, and you can feel lost, and you can lose that space or place that feels like home. It's fantastic to see what you're doing here. Another cool thing is the winning of the Pre-Manitoba Award in 1987, and the first Community Leadership Award by the Asian Heritage Society in 2019. Now, how does the school stand apart as a leader in the arts?
So I think Revanti mentioned before, so we were established in 1980 when there were no other schools in the city. There was nothing in Winnipeg teaching the Indian art form. We do a few classes, Bharatanatyam, Kathak. Those are classical ancient Indian dance forms, and also different classical music and vocals as well. So there was nothing in Winnipeg that had that at the time. So that's when our director, Pamela Rebello, wanted to put us together. And we also did theater production. So we brought together all of those different areas, the dance forms and the music classes. And we also have done collaborations with other organizations. We've even done one with flamenco dancers, and we did some with belly dancers. So we like to bring together not just our cultures, but all those other cultures. And so the Pre Award was for after several years of just establishing this community, this organization here. And then the Asian Heritage Month was for even reaching out, getting the Winnipeg Foundation to fund us and helping us recognize there's the Asian Heritage Month in May and putting on performances for that as well. So we've done a lot of community work, bringing together not just the Indian community, but all other multicultural communities in Winnipeg.
That's what it means to be Canadian. Multiculturalism brings everyone together to celebrate our cultures, histories, and heritages. What are the different programming and musical subjects your school offers? And how do these various dance styles differ?
So here at the India School, we teach Bharatanatyam as well as Kathak. So they are basically the dance form from North India versus from South India. So there are Kathak as a dance form is basically has a very intricate footwork, spins, and emoting. So in Kathak basically means telling a story from our ancient scriptures. So we do that with the help of our expressions, our dance, our movements. So that's what we teach here. And Bharatanatyam, on the other hand, is from the southern part of India, which is basically has a different kind of posture, a different way of telling the story. It's all about that, passing down the generations of stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we do both of them, and many of our past students have been involved in both, and currently senior students here are rehearsing to get the certification done.
India is a huge country. Of course, the diversity of dance would be reflected in that as well. What's your favorite dance to do?
So initially I started off as a Kathak dancer, but mm-hmm. in the recent years I have taken interest in Bollywood and other fusion forms. So my favorite form is Bollywood in the classical backdrop.
I like the, we have in our style of Kathak, it's, as Revanti mentioned, a storytelling form, but we also have a lot of technical pieces that has many, no storytelling, just fast footwork, lots of spins. I like that because it's very, it's challenging. So it feels good.
Why is it important to continue to offer and showcase multicultural arts?
Yeah, so I feel like it's important to have organizations like this because it, by training performers and artists, we are able to share and promote our culture to the general public, not just to show what we do, but also to help unite our communities. So as I mentioned before, not just our Indian communities, but collaborate with others around the city and just allow others to see what we do here in case they also want to join us and learn what we have to offer. And then I think Revanti also mentioned earlier, it's nice to have it here so that newcomer families or immigrant families who are leaving their homes, like leaving India or South Africa, they're able to see, oh, we're able to have our children or ourselves, we can stay connected to our communities and our cultures through the school. And it's not just learning the dance form that's there, but it's an ancient dance form that's been passed down for centuries. So it's nice to have that going throughout the families.
The pandemic devastated local businesses and organizations. How did the school handle the massive change in life during the pandemic?
Yeah, so that was a tough time. So Revanti wasn't here with us then, but I was doing all the managing. It was pretty hectic, but what we did is we did have to close the school when it was required of us. But if we're able to open up, we would do that momentarily. But in the meantime, we also ran our classes online, so through Zoom, which had its struggles as well because, you know, internet's lag and then some students don't want to turn their cameras on.
As we've all learned.
Yes.
Time.
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating, but at least we were able to, especially for the advanced students, they were able to continue to learn. And we even provided, as teachers, we would take videos of ourselves, give it to the students so that they're able to continue learning. And then when we were able to open up, even if it's just for a month, we still had our classes here. So if they wanted to come in, they can come and practice with us. So we had that going. And then we had generous donations from community members as well, which was nice.
What sort of events is the India School of Dance involved in?
So we recently went for the Asian Heritage Month in May. So mm-hmm. we do that. We do a folklorama. We send our students to like competitions. And workshops at schools.
Wow.
So we have a lot of encouragement for those students here.
Sorry, just to add on, so if anyone wants us, they can always email us and request us to perform at an event or anything else that they need. So we've had people request us to do workshops with them or perform at a function.
Where can people find more information about the school and who can all sign up?
Anyone can sign up. So whether it's just a simple Google search for India School of Dance, and you can find our website and contact us through there, or you can look for us on Facebook or Instagram.
I hear you calling to me, your forgotten wisdom through me, into air that drew me, softly creeping down to bow. Going to the forest, see shining flowers, sweet perfumed hours, wild mystic towers. And when the birds speak out to sing of nature's cloud, they were so long and loud in the forest, bathing the beauty, invited to coolly, emboldened and unruly, going to the forest. brownstones they find me. Barefoot we tread deep. The wet earth is squishy. And all this time I've wasted, I could have breathed and tasted. Dived in wellsprings naked, longing to embrace the path. Caressing rough-edged darkness, barking dogwood tresses. Feel the spiral dresses clothed in cosmic disarray. Going to the forest, see shining flowers, sweet perfumed hours, wildest hours. And when the birds speak out to sing of nature's cloud, they were so long and loud in the forest. We bathe in the beauty, invited so coolly, emboldened and unruly, going to the forest, see shining flowers, sweet perfumed hours, wildness of doubt. Going to the forest. Going to the forest. Going to the forest. Going to the
start of the war in Ukraine, an organization of volunteers created Help Ukraine Morden, a network to get supplies to Ukraine. The group now teams up with Second Front Ukraine Foundation for a fundraising auction, with the goal of raising $50,000. All right, Yevgenia, how about we just start with a quick introduction of who you are and kind of what you've been doing to help Ukraine the past, I guess, few months now.
Oh, yes, it's around, yeah, half a year by now, yeah. So I'm Yevgenia Tatarenko, and I am, as I say right now, the Ukrainian, which is, yeah, just to explain people, yes, that it's a big deal, yeah, for myself to be Ukrainian those days, right? And since the start of the war in Ukraine, I launched a few of my own initiatives, and that helped Ukraine. So I started to raise money for Ukraine, for Ukrainian army and for Ukrainian paramedics, to help them to send them medical supplies or fire gear to Ukraine, and so on, so on. Then another one initiated us together with the city of Morden coordinators. So we launched our volunteer initiative that helps displaced Ukrainians to arrive to Morden and to settle and be happy here and have this feeling of family, big family here, that they are accepted, they are welcomed, and so on, so on. Also, I launched it again with the city of Morden, so we initiated the summer camp for Ukrainian kids. And that summer camp we're running every day until September the 2nd, and we're running for the full day, 10 hours per day, so their parents, they can find full-time job, right, in order to settle here and then later to apply for permanent residence, because they need to have the full-time job, right? So it's very important, yeah, to kind of have arrangements for their kids so they can work. This is what I was doing, except of teaching at college and so on, so on. And I also joined another huge organization. It's also a volunteer organization, Second Front Ukraine Foundation. So they asked me to help them to make a difference for Ukraine and all Ukrainians, or together with all Ukrainians from Canada to Ukraine as well. So because I have my own initiative, right? So they know that I can help somehow, and it's the honor to work with their team as well, because big names, right, people that are passionate about helping Ukraine as well, and we're all over Canada, so we have volunteers in Ottawa, in Toronto, in Montreal, in
Vancouver, all over the place,
and in Manitoba here as well, all over the place, and as well as in Ukraine. So it's international, I would say, organization as of now. So yeah, this is what we were doing, and I'm happy to join their team as well to develop, you know, to organize other events and to help to make even larger, you know, difference or bigger difference for Ukraine.
It's very important what you're doing, helping out the refugees who have been displaced, because we've been hearing stories of individuals that come here and they don't have support and they don't know what to do, that they've been brought over and now they're just left to their own devices and are lost. So it's really important that we're helping those who are coming here during this horrific time in Ukraine.
When we launched the initiative that helps displaced Ukrainians, right, coming to Canada and especially to Morden, so we were thinking like how to help them, right? But we at that point, we didn't even think how deep it can be and how wide this help should be, right, or can be. So that's why I was thinking, like, okay, how we can help them as well, right? Okay, so we can help to arrange them, you know, some accommodation or transportation. So we can arrange or help them with the physical needs, like, you know, with some furniture or some clothing and wear some groceries for the first time, right? But then what to do, as you mentioned, right? I personally didn't want them to be left somewhere, right, alone, and just thinking like, okay, I'm so stressed, I left my country, I don't have my husband here because of martial law, he stayed in Ukraine, right, I have kids, what should I do, and so on, right, where to run, whom to ask. So I wanted to help them more than, you know, giving just something to them. So, and I came up with this idea to launch like every week meetings of Ukrainians, right? Ukrainian nights. So, and the idea was to invite everyone. So Ukrainians, like new Ukrainians, Ukrainians that have been living here for a few years, as well as locals, right? From, you know, Canadians who are not Ukrainians at all. I wanted just to bring them all together to introduce them to each other, right?
Yeah, and to build this like community, that network.
Yes, to build up this community and to show them they are accepted, they are welcomed here, right? And it's cool to be here. And every single week, you will have this opportunity, you know, to meet other people, and you will have the opportunity to ask any questions. This is what we're teaching them, just ask questions, right? If you have this issue or problem, right? Or you have this question, just ask. We will bring speakers, we will bring guests, right? So that they will know the answer for you. So, and what I see right now, you know, having those every week, like weekly meetings, like weekly Ukrainian nights, it's amazing. People are asking me like, what is the topic for this week? What are we going to learn? Or where are our speakers for this week? And is it still happening this week, and so on. So people know that there is the place, they can come, they can drink coffee, they can have tea, right, and something sweet, and discuss different topics. And we teach them from, you know, Canadian perspective, what is life in Canada look like, right? What you should know, or what you should do in Canada, or what you shouldn't do in Canada, right? How to get the better job, how to bank in Canada, and so on. So what is the medicine in Canada? What are schools in Canada, right? What are the specifics? And this is like, as I say, people ask me, how do you have time for doing all of this? But when I see people and I see the change of the reaction and even facial expressions from when they come for those Ukrainian nights for the first time, and then when they come later in, you know, a couple of weeks, few weeks later, I see the difference on their faces. And this is the huge motivation, making the difference in their lives and just hugging them, showing that we're all family here, right? You are accepted, you are welcomed, everything will be great, no matter what, we will help you. So it's really, you know, it's like a treasure to think in this way for me. So it's my pleasure and it's honor to do so, and to meet them, to learn their stories, to know who they are. And it's really amazing. It's really amazing. And yeah, within 3.5, almost 4 months, we welcomed over 50 families in Morden. So, which is not
wow, that's a lot. For a community of that size, like an influx in that short amount of period, that's a ton.
You can even divide, you know, those families into those weeks, right? You can calculate and imagine how many families already arrived, which is amazing. And around 80 kids, it's, you know, coming to this area. It's really amazing. So this is just, for example, the city of Morden, like the immigration initiative, they usually had between 50 and 100 families arriving each year. So we, you know, we did this, you know, in shorter period of time, which is awesome. So, and that's why they need help to understand, okay, where they can find jobs, right? How everything works. So it will be faster for them to learn how to be Canadian, like, or how to be safe, or how to be relaxed, or how to be, you know, passionate and hardworking personality here in Canada.
What sort of stories are you hearing from people as they're escaping their home country to come here?
We started especially right now because those families, they weren't planning to go to Canada, right? So some of the families, they really escaped, right? So those are the families that were sheltering, or were trying to shelter during the bombing in Kharkiv, for example, right? Or those are the families from Mykolaiv, right? And Mykolaiv, we know that it's also one of the targets. And we started to see more families, like just moms with kids coming. And it's different. And all of them, they have their own stories. And it's I can't say it's amazing to discover because it's horrible to discover those stories. But some of those stories is like how people were, you know, living their homes like the same day when the war started, or like the third day when the war started. And then they were sheltering, you know, somewhere and trying to save their families. And it was so loud. They still remember those stories. Then how they were trying to escape, you know, crossing the whole Ukraine, going to the West, and crossing the border to Poland, how they lived for a few months in Poland, how they were meeting those people that now they call them and their families, right? Or how they were making the decision to try to go to Canada, right? How they are arriving to Canada. And some of the families, they're coming right now with, you know, single moms coming with kids and with animals, which is, you know, it's, I would say it's the new standards for, you know, for the world to know that people love their pets that much that they can't leave them in Ukraine. They can't leave them for, you know, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of bombing, just without thinking like what will happen, right? They escape together with their pets, and they bring those pets to Europe and then from Europe to Canada as well. This is the new reality, I would say. And it's amazing how those moms, single moms, so their husbands, they still stay in Ukraine because of martial law, but they have their kids, sometimes babies coming with, you know, babies, you know, less than 1 year old, and coming with pets at the same time, with dogs or with cats. I don't know, those moms, those ladies, they are truly my heroes. It's, we can't even imagine what they went through, but they did this, and they are here, and with those little pets, with their babies, with their kids, sometimes with their moms as well, and they're absolutely alone here, right? And it's, for us, it's like, okay, a new family arriving, it's so cool, welcome to Canada, right? But we sometimes don't even think how deep the story behind of each of those families.
Awe-inspiring to hear these stories. It's incredibly humbling. During COVID and everything, you know, it was tough going through lockdowns and not being able to see friends and families. But the reality that people around the world, not just Ukraine, but every country that is experiencing war and violence, what they have to go through are things that we cannot comprehend.
No, we can't. We can't imagine. Because we never had those situations, right? We never went through the same trauma and post-traumatic, you know, syndrome and so on, right? It's good when it's post-traumatic, right? Which means everything is over. But to see this and to realize how deep everything and how wide everything in their minds, it's, and how their reality is different right now, right? For us, problem, it can be like, okay, like this one problem, right? Okay, do I want to get the shot? Don't I? So on, right? But for them, it's like question how to survive, right? How to stay alive.
Your involvement with Second Front UA is a fundraising event. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so this is what I mentioned. I was invited to join this team of Second Front Ukraine Foundation. And this is actually the foundation that I have been working with almost since the beginning of the war, right? Because purchase, so I work with them to buy different body armor and so on. I was helping them with logistics, or they were helping me with logistics. So we were working already, but they invited to help to organize events or fundraisers as well. And this upcoming for fundraiser, or actually it started already, right, on August 15th. So we opened our bidding on our first international online auction, charity auction. And it's actually, when we were planning this auction, we couldn't even imagine how powerful and we can be. It's like, it's amazing because, you know, we're just volunteers, but all of us, at the same time, we're so passionate about what we're doing. So, and when you have the team of those people and you have connections in Ukraine, in Canada, so you are, you know, you are so powerful. And together with all volunteers and all our connections with Ukraine and with celebrities in Ukraine, with musicians or big names in Canada, with worldwide, you know, or sports stars and athletes and so on, so on, we could source like 2 weeks we sourced 31 auction item, and those items are just mind-blowing. And
well, there's cool, there's like boxing gloves signed by Vitaly, I can't say that last name.
Yeah, Vitaly Klitschko, just so you know, yeah, he's a boxing star, so like a lot of fans, boxing fans, they know Vitaly Klitschko because he's the champion, like multiple times champion. Now he's the mayor of Kyiv, and Kyiv is the capital of Ukraine. So he is a huge name. So in sports, in politics, and so on, right? And we have the list of celebrities, like singers, musicians who donated their items, like their dresses or costumes or something like this, right?
Yeah, there's a ton of items on here, like what is it, a wrestling singlet, a gown, a vinyl stylish hoodie. Like there's a ton of unique and exciting items here. The goal is to raise $50,000 by August 23rd. What is this money going to be used for?
So we will be using those money to help defenders. So we'll be helping one of the brigades. Yeah, it's Holodny Yar. It's 93rd Brigade. Holodny Yar, it's in Ukrainian, I know. It's like, what is that? But yeah, it's a big name as well for all Ukrainians. So they're very powerful. So, and we're raising money exactly for them. So because they asked us to purchase the Starlink satellite stations for them, plus industrial drones, that quadricopters that will be helped. So for all Ukrainians and all defenders right now, all those drones are like eyes. So they say, we need eyes.
And eyes in the skies.
Yeah, eyes in the skies, yes. And everyone will understand why, because it's the game changer right now. So, and for sure, before the opening the auction, we also were asking each other, okay, let's bid. How much can we raise? Okay. And each of us organizers, we were, you know, just for ourselves, we were deciding, okay, what if we raise over than $50,000? Then how much can we do? And we had even some suggestions like $1 million. Like, ooh, wow, that would be nice for sure. So the $50,000, this is what we need. But again, we have a lot of requests from other units, you know, and other brigades and so on. So even if
so, more funds can go a long way.
Yes. Yeah. It's not just for one brigade. So if we raise $1 million, right? It's not just for one brigade, right? Not just for Holodny Yar. So those money, extra money, will be used for other units to help them, because a lot of requests. And those requests are, nowadays, they're so specific, and they're very expensive, all those requests. So,
where can people go to find out more about this fundraising auction? And yeah, where can they go to find out more about it?
Yeah, so first of all, they can go to our website, Second Front UA, and they can, again, they can find us the same, Second Front Ukraine or Second Front UA on Instagram, on Facebook, right? And they can find more information. They can find all those auction items. They can click on the link and go to the online platform. So, and it's pretty easy to find, pretty easy to read about every single item for the auction, and they can bid there. So, and they can help Ukraine as well.
An exciting event is taking place this weekend, a celebration of the legacy of Jerry Atwell.
Jerry Fest is a fundraising event for the Jerry Atwill Memorial Mentorship Fund, connecting Winnipeg artists to mentors of various mediums.
Hello, I'm very happy to be here. My name is Judy Williams. I've been the co-chair of Jerry Fest and the mentorship program for the last couple of years. I'm looking forward to our event that's happening this weekend.
I am Elliot Walsh. I'm the artistic director of Jerry Fest. Really excited to be a part of this year's event.
And I'm Jocelyn. I am one of the mentees that's being mentored through this program that Jerry Fest is holding. So it's not only a concert event, it's a mentorship program.
So how about we just start with what is Jerry Fest and how it came to be?
Okay, I'll take a go. Well, Jerry Fest has become an annual event. It was started in 2020 as a way to kind of continue the work that Jerry Atwill, who had been a longtime board member and curator and kind of program coordinator at the St. Norbert Arts Centre, and how, you know, he had inspired the community at large. So we wanted to find a way to continue his legacy. And with his passing in November of 2019, friends and family believed that it was very important to continue Jerry's way of supporting and mentoring artists from various disciplines and giving them an opportunity and some space to develop and showcase their work, their crafts, and also to meet and mingle with other artists and professionals and people that they could really relate to. One thing Jerry always had done, and what we're doing too, is he always had a focus on looking at artists from communities that were underrepresented in the arts.
The arts can make so much of a difference. When people can't go to concerts or go see, like go to a local pub or a bar to listen to some of the local music, like during this whole COVID pandemic, we've seen how it's torn us apart and has really, you know, affected the mental health of individuals. So opportunities like this to uplift local artists and musicians is so important. So Judy, what can you tell me more about your brother? What sort of man was he?
We were a family of seven children anyway, so four daughters and three sons. Jerry was always very creative. He was a down-to-earth person. He really appreciated his friends and his family and his fans. I would say he was a problem solver, definitely a peacemaker. People say, and I know that he was there to support everyone and always really kind of solution focused. And I always tell people he was a feminist as well. We know Jerry's writing skills were amazing. He was a gifted writer, a talented musician. He played the keyboards and he'd written for TV. He'd written some movie treatments, plays, songs, etc. In fact, on his laptop, we found a collection of over 200 songs that he actually alphabetized and left of songs he'd written. So at least now when we go through some of his boxes, some things we have of his, we will know what cassettes, what songs he actually had written himself. What else can I say? He definitely used his strong writing skills to write grants for community groups and musician friends, and also for the St. Norbert Arts Center, which brought in tens of thousands of dollars for the community at large.
Part of that legacy that we're seeing of Jerry is the Jerry Atwill Memorial Mentorship Fund. What can you tell me about this fund? And then Jocelyn, we can talk a little bit about, you know, what does that mean to you as one of the mentees?
So the Jerry Atwill Memorial Fund came to be as a way to continue the work that we knew Jerry had done in the community, the mentoring he had done with people. We just knew that we needed some kind of fund to start the program. So we're trying to grow this money. It's an endowment fund. So it's being held by the Winnipeg Foundation. Every year when we plan this event, any sales go straight to this fund. We also ask for donations. So this year, the money that you would pay for a ticket goes straight into the endowment fund. It's basically the donation that we're asking for to kind of raise this amount. What we're really trying to do is find a way to sustain all our mentorship programming and also just, you know, to be able to not have to just know what's going to be going on into the future. We can develop it a bit more and we can continue to run the mentorship program itself.
So Jocelyn, as a mentee who is directly being affected by this fund, what do you feel about this program and how has your time been with it?
We had some really great sessions together as a group, and then with other coaches. It was a fabulous session, and just really inspiring that we can work together and be inspired by people that are in this industry. I'm a spoken word artist and a visual artist. So it's been really interesting to work with a whole bunch of different artists and different genres. So, and learn that we're kind of all on the same path, and then it's the path of creativity and getting our stuff out there. So really getting that help to get out there has been the best part of the mentorship program so far.
How important is having a mentorship program like this that's building off the legacy of what Jerry did for budding artists and creators like yourself?
I wish I knew Jerry. Like he sounds so amazing, and I feel like horrible that I just missed him. You know, it feels like we would have been in passing or something, because like I've hung out at Snack. I've you know, seen some of these things. So I feel like we were just ships passing through the night or something. But to have all of his friends and community around still like supporting the rest of the community and helping emerging artists is amazing. Like there is still this legacy that's still going on. And thanks to Judy and Elliot and the rest of the Snack community, it's so supportive, and it's been great.
And just for our listeners, Snack refers to the St. Norbert's Art Center.
Right.
Just someone's like, why are we talking about treats right
snacks.
Now? What? The event takes place August 12th to 14th. What can people expect from this year's event?
I want to say thanks, Jocelyn and Judy, and all the mentees and mentors that have been involved with the project and the committee. All of us sitting here and doing this interview have a varying degree of interaction with Jerry. And in passing, he still has an impact on the community. And it's really important for this to represent what he would want and his ideals. I should make it known that I've known Jerry's family for a long time. His extended family has roots inside of Trinidad and Tobago. And so going through Folklorama as well with my family and getting to know them that way. Jerry has always been one of those people that would pop up in the music scene, me being a musician, and would just say, we should do something sometime. But meanwhile, there was this like large generation gap between us. But he was always genuine. And I'd see him in the most different situations all the time. It would be like a music event, or it'd be like advocacy for disabled artists, like just writing grants and things of that nature. And it's just, and historically what he's meant to the community, as a playwright and as a musician, like I need to make this well known that the first recorded rap in Winnipeg was Jerry Atwell. And that's like from the early 80s, I want to say 80, maybe 79, approximately. So, and this is like an event for the older generation beyond me, even, that they remember seeing Jerry on stage doing this for the first time. Like, so... I just want to say, like, he's had many hats and people remember him in different ways, but they always remember him in a good way. Like there's a vibe. So that has to carry through to this wonderful festival.
So there's some really cool things that people can participate in. There's going to be music. People can see visual arts. It's really a all-encompassing yeah. event, really.
It is. It has to be, because that's what Jerry was like. Judy was telling me this story, of this philosophy, this approach of Jerry, of just of practice. And it was learning something, but taking it very seriously, and then moving on. But you have that skill. And he took that integrity into everything that he did and tried to give that knowledge to somebody else afterwards, which is phenomenal when you think about it. It never was just for him. It was for him and everybody else. And that's what art is. It's, we're the conduit of society's feelings and our own, and just spread mm-hmm. it out afterwards.
Thank you. Thank you, Elliot. That was really, really impactful, what you shared just now about this, our event. So I guess for the rest of the weekend, this is a 3-day event. On the Saturday, we are open from 11 till 4. There'll be a community art project, as well as the gallery will be opened as well. And then we'll have a concert from 1 to 3, which is with the mentees. It's kind of a jam session. We want to get people to kind of like push themselves and work with other artists and musicians and kind of learn how to collaborate, because Winnipeg's all about that. You might get called to do a job because they're missing a drummer. You might get called to do a job because they're missing a singer, and you just step to it and do it. So we want to kind of show that and teach that as well. And then on the Sunday, the event is from 11 to 4 again. We're opened with the gallery being opened, and there'll be the community art project will be on as well. And then from 2 to 4, we've invited two of the mentees from last year's program back to perform for us. So that'll be exciting. They'll get to meet this year's mentees and last year's a couple of mentees. And so that's Tommy Wah and Ethan Lyric. They'll both be performing on the Sunday for us.
This event is a growing of a community, getting the public to come in to witness the amazing creations of these mentors and mentees. And it's bringing these creators together to create collaborative works and showcase their works. How do you think Jerry would feel seeing that his legacy has inspired such an amazing, unique opportunity for the residents of Winnipeg to come together?
Well, I know he'd be very happy. He would be very relaxed to know that things are carrying on without him here. And I still feel him around me. And I say this before, but I honestly do feel him around me, just kind of orchestrating some of what's going on right now, you know? So I think, I know he's pleased that things are continuing to move on in this area. It's always more to do, of course.
And another exciting development is the naming of the outdoor arena / theater. I'm not quite sure is the right word for that, but I guess just what is the reactions towards that?
The St. Norbert Arts Center, they've always, like a lot of their focus has always been on their beautiful environment. They're nestled right now in a spiritual, historical property, 5 acres. So a lot of the projects they've had over the years have been, you know, creating gardens or just outdoor theaters and so on, like Shakespeare in the Ruins is there, of course, but there's other things that have taken place over the years that are outdoors. They've always wanted to have an outdoor stage and theater. So when we were able to put this one together, the amphitheater or outdoor stage, the committee, the board wanted to name it after Jerry. So they named it the Jerry Atwell Theater. And a lot of people knew him as the Gatman. So it kind of, we were able to pick up those that abbreviation as well with our naming of the theater.
For individuals who are wanting to take part in this weekend event, or individuals who are wanting to get involved in the mentee program, where do they go to find out information on that?
They can go to the SNAC website. They'll have the information about this year's program and last year's program as well. And they could connect with the basic email address for the director at SNAC and let us know. Hopefully they'll come to the site this weekend and talk to us. That would be a good way to connect with people and to get to know us and see how the things unfold, talk to the mentees that are there this year. They can also get involved by supporting us by donating to the endowment fund. Right now, what we are asking for donations, and we are releasing a CD this year. The CD is a compilation of songs that Jerry's written and performed. One of his dear friends, Daryl Boom Boom Reimer, has compiled 11 of his songs. One's a rap kind of medley. And we're featuring this as a fundraiser, this CD release. You'll be the first one to have it if you want to donate to the event. You can follow the website to get more of the prices.
Enjoying UTalk? Why don't you check out some more content from U Multicultural? You can check it out at u-channel.ca. I'm Ryan Funk. This was UTalk. And have yourself a good one.